is good to be with you today. I want to begin with a question. Do you recall a time when someone stepped on your toes? I don't mean literally, that can happen too. But I'm thinking more in terms of stepped on your toes. It means somebody got it kind of too close. They defied you, or maybe hurt your feelings, or maybe made you feel bad, or made you angry, or made you stop and look at what you were doing or failing to do. Can you recall having your toes stepped on? I hope most of us can, because it happens, doesn't it? Can you remember some recent time that has happened? Well, let me tell you something. It has happened today here in the readings. Our toes have been stepped on. Our toes have been stepped on. So just be aware of that. When the reading here, the Spirit is saying to God's people, have we really heard it? Have we really heard it and internalized it? That's the question. In the first lesson, we heard the prophet Isaiah. The job of a prophet, at least one of the jobs, is to step on people's toes. In the reading today, he tells what starts out to be a nice little story. A story of someone planting a vineyard, taking every precaution, every care to make sure it produces the finest grapes possible. Oh, has there been due labor to make sure this vineyard is going to be the best. And when he returns, what does he find? Sour grapes. Or as another translation puts it, a rotten mess. And so the planter decides to abandon the vineyard and just let the weeds grow up over it, the animals trample over it, and let it alone. And of course, Isaiah is not a timid person, okay? And he lets the people of God know that they are the grapes. They are the grapes. And on behalf of God, Isaiah tells them this. He, God, hoped for justice, a theme that permeates the Bible, justice. He had hoped for justice. And look, jaundice. He looked for righteousness, living in complete harmony with God, our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer, living in harmony with our God, righteousness. And look, wretchedness. The people had wandered far from the covenant that the people of God had made with God and God with them. And so to put this into context, let's go back many, many, many years, beginning the time when God, now listen to this, God approached an old man named Abram. And God comes close to Abram and says, I want to make a covenant with you and your people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And so the covenant is sealed. Now, a covenant is always an agreement between two parties, and each side vows to the other one and makes a promise, so the covenant is a whole. Each side taking responsibility for its part in maintaining this covenantal relationship. Now, back to Abram. Abram was married, and his wife was old too. And God changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. I wonder how they got used to that after being called these names for so long, other names. And not only that, God said, you are going to have a son, an indication that God can bring life from barrenness. Again, a theme that permeates the gospel, permeates the Bible. God said further to them, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. These are our ancient spiritual ancestors. And as the years passed, the families grew, and they wandered and wandered and wandered in terms of the covenant that had been made. They wandered from God. So God, in order to keep them in line, sent prophets. Prophets to keep a close eye on things and to address any out-of-line thoughts, behaviors, and practices. And over the centuries following that, these people wandered often, far and sometimes very far, in terms of covenantal life. And God made sure there would be prophets to step on their toes. I want to show you something. See this? This is a heavy book. This is a translation of the Old Testament by a Hebrew professor and scholar and rabbi. He has spent a lifetime translating the Hebrew Bible into English so that it has a Hebraic sound to it. This is just one volume of it. This is just the prophets, okay? So God's pretty serious about this in terms of producing prophets. And people who say, well, I don't like the Old Testament too much. It's a lot of violence and all this carrying on and everything. And that is quite true. We have the prophets. And it is a big part of the Bible. Isaiah is, in terms of the writings, some of the longest ones. Isaiah is one of the longest ones. But it is he who reminded the people of God, I am the Lord who have called you in righteousness, that's part of the covenant, in righteousness and held your hand and preserved you and made you a covenant for peoples, and a light to the nations. This is a big vision. It starts out small with Abram and Sarah, and over the centuries it grows and grows and grows. I have made you to be a light to the nations. We, the descendants of that family, need to make sure that we listen to those prophets who spoke through the ages about the lapses in what God expects in terms of righteousness, in terms of justice, and in terms of kindness. This is the legacy upon which Jesus was raised. This he knew. You may recall the story about Jesus when he was left behind in Jerusalem, when his family had gone to Jerusalem for a big festival. The festival was over, they had left for home. They, of course, had to walk. They didn't have Uber in those days. And along the way, they noticed Jesus wasn't with the other children. So they said, we've got to turn back to Jerusalem and go find our child. And where did they find him? He was in the temple with the temple leaders, listening to them, and asking them questions. The influence of that is heard in the gospel lesson today, which is very chaotic sounding, to put it mildly. But we hear that prophetic voice of Jesus. He is the ultimate prophet. We hear that prophetic legacy raised. You may remember the story of Jesus starting out in his ministry. He started in his hometown. They were so proud of him, hometown boy, making good. But then he starts on his message. And the more he says, the more irritated they become, until finally he is chased out of his hometown. The word of God is not always welcome. So today, we hear the prophetic voice. I come to bring fire and division. Wow. I've come to bring fire and division. And we hear something from the ancient prophet Malachi when he said, he is like a refiner's fire, refining metal to make it pure, pure gold or pure whatever. He will purify the sons of Levi. They're the people who take care of the offerings in the temple and places of worship. He will purify the sons of Levi until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Again, that theme. The fire purifies God's people so that they are pleasing to the Lord and maintaining the covenant. Jesus says that those who follow him are going to experience division. You're either on this side or this side. And these sides don't necessarily agree with each other. But you have got to decide. Division. The decision must be living the way of Jesus or living the way of the world. If we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, there will be division, there will be anger, there will be risk, there will be anger along the way, just as it was in the prophetic movement through the Old Testament. The prophetic presence invariably meets serious resistance. It always has. There always is lurking within each of us the temptation, I want it my way. I want it my way instead of the way of Jesus. And these are the choices that we have to make every day. Now, in terms of choices, I find inspiration in the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, from a letter he wrote to the to the faith communities in Birmingham, Alabama, while he was in jail. And he speaks of his choice of who he will follow. And this is what he wrote. This is out of this letter. He says, "I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century BC left their villages and carried their 'Thus saith the Lord' beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my own hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid." The leaders who received the letter, the leaders of the faith communities, for the most part, refused to lend aid. Perhaps within the radius of a mile of this place, there are calls for aid. There are calls for aid. And perhaps even further out, maybe even way, way, way out, there are calls for aid. Throughout the world, people are calling for aid. What do we, the people of God, do? Do we cover our ears? Do we close our eyes? Do we hide in the corner? Do we simply ignore the cries? Or we just do what we want to do? Is there among us a prophetic presence somewhere that will step on our toes and awaken us to what God in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, has made us and called us to be and to do? We opened our service today with a collect for the day that we would walk daily. We would walk daily with Jesus. And we have Jesus' promise: "I will be with you. I will be with you always." Amen.